Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Good evening, fight fans. This is Mike Hisko of MMATorch.com. Today is Monday, July 17th, 2017. This is the first ever MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans livecast. So if you're a pro wrestling fan looking to get into MMA, you think this is the show for you. If you're a longtime MMA fan like we are, we're going to cover all the big topics with a unique perspective. We're not going to overanalyze every omoplata and armbar, but we will talk about the personalities and the promotional side of the business that I think you'll appreciate as pro wrestling fans. But most importantly, we do want to hear from you. So give us a call. Our phone number is 515-605-9345, and have your voice heard. You guys will dictate the direction of this show. My guests tonight, or my co-hosts tonight, are Michael Garaki of MMA Torch and longtime MMA Torch columnist making his return to podcasting and to writing at the site, Sean Ennis. Sean, maybe I'll start with you. Maybe you can just talk about your history as a pro wrestling fan and your history as an MMA fan. What came first? I think I know the answer to that. But and kind of where do you stand right now on for both businesses?
Yeah, so I started as a pro wrestling fan probably at around WrestleMania 4, WrestleMania 5. The build up to Hogan versus Savage was really my first big experience as a pro wrestling fan. Of course, that was before MMA really existed in its current form anyway. When it really came onto the scene for me was 1993. I was 14 years old, and was able to catch some of the early UFCs. I was not able to buy pay-per-views at the time, but the VHS tape trade was big at middle school, so that was the way I was able to kind of keep up with some of the goings on anyway. I followed it pretty closely since then, and between Pride and between the other smaller promotions, whether it's the IFL or Bulldog Fight and all that kind of fun stuff, I've been watching all of it. So and now I watch, I actually don't watch as much as I used to, because volume wise I probably still watch about as much, but there's so much that it's hard to keep up with just the UFC anymore.
Oh God!
But I watch every major UFC event, at least the main card. Some of the prelims I don't always catch, but I have a pretty good idea of what's going on there. As far as wrestling, I keep up through the Torch, shameless plug, mostly. But I kind of watch Raw sparingly, and I watch some of the pay per views, and I actually been getting into New Japan quite a bit lately.
Yes,
so, I do still keep up with the wrestling business, even though I'm mainly focused on MMA between the two.
All right, how about you, Garaki? How long have you been a pro wrestling fan?
Oh gosh, I've been a fan for a long time. I've grown up in Chicago. I remember going to the Chicago Amphitheater and seeing wrestlers like Dick the Bruiser and the Crusher.
Wow!
I remember seeing the Blackjacks. I don't have great memories of it, but I do remember, seeing some of the shows. And then through the years, growing up, you know, following, you know, the WWF at the time, through the Attitude Era. I wasn't really too big with WCW. Didn't really watch much of that. Mm-hmm. Pretty much strictly WWE, WWF guy. And like Sean, just lately, and I think it's ever since Jim Ross kind of got involved with New Japan, I've been watching a little more of that lately. And I find myself, you know, if I'm going to choose between one or the other lately, I seem to be choosing New Japan over WWE's product.
Okay.
And then I guess, you know, on the MMA side, it goes back to probably the earlier pay-per-views. I remember really getting involved once Matt Hughes kind of made his ascent to, you know, the title. GSP. Didn't really watch much Pride, strictly UFC for the most part. And then I'd say the last couple years, just from, you know, following Bellator for the MMA Torch, I'm really starting to enjoy Bellator's product a lot now as well.
Yeah, even some of those early prelims on Spike.com, you're covering those too. Someone's got to do it, eh? Yeah. Well, that's great, yeah.
Poor man.
As for myself, yeah, I've been probably about a 30-year pro wrestling fan. WWF, Hulk Hogan, you know, that kind of stuff as a little kid. And then I dropped off in early to mid-90s when, you know, a lot of people started to grow out of the childish, youth-oriented product they were putting out at the time. And then also, like a lot of people, I got back into it with Austin in the Attitude area around 98 is when I got back into it. The first live pro wrestling event I ever went to was Breakdown 98 at Cops Coliseum in Hamilton. That was the show where Austin lost the title to Undertaker and Kane in a triple threat match. So that was me as a pro wrestling fan. I still keep up, obviously, through the Torch. Never watch Raw or SmackDown, very rarely. I don't have the time or the energy to keep up week to week with that kind of stuff, but I watch the big shows, and like you guys said, I do follow New Japan also with the big shows. Just with the amount of wrestling that's out there, it's so much to keep up with, but at the same time, there's so much good wrestling that it's probably the best time ever to be a wrestling fan, really, just because there's so much good product out there and it's so accessible. And then MMA, I got into MMA similar to you, Mike, when Matt Hughes was coming up. The first show I bought, it wasn't the first show I watched, but the first show I put my money down for was Hughes versus Gracie, just because I got right into that story, you know, kind of like the legend who, you know, they sold as like having all these crazy submissions. He could submit anyone. I remember, who was it, like Marlon Wayans or one of those guys in the crowd saying he's gonna put him in a nose lock. And like, I was so naive to the sport at the time that I bought into that, and I bought the fight, and Hughes annihilated him, as anyone with any knowledge at the time would have expected. But for there I was hooked, and I've been writing at the Torch for the last year, and it's been great. So I'm excited to get the live cast started here. So let's start our pro wrestling and MMA live cast by talking about some boxing. Mayweather and McGregor, they had their four big press conferences last week. Started out kind of quiet. Nothing too much crazy happened the first night in LA, but then Toronto was really good. I was watching that and it was like, I feel like I'm watching, you know, a good opening segment from Raw from like 15 years ago. Just the way McGregor was working that crowd, he knew when to like pause at the right time to let the crowd react, and he was telling a story. It was really remarkable the way he worked that crowd. And then things went completely off the cliff for those last two shows. So based on what you guys saw at the press conferences, did it increase your interest in that fight at all? How about you, Sean? You can start off.
That's a tricky question because I'm so uninterested in that fight and that it's hard to decrease or increase that interest.
Yeah.
I will say this. I mean, probably just like anyone else at this point, I'm semi-interested in it for the spectacle, you know, because there is obviously a 99.999% chance that McGregor's going to go in there and never be able to touch Mayweather and get either knocked out or decision in a very boring fight. But what if, you know, what if the 0.001% happens? You know, you almost have to be there just in case something like that happens. But as far as like the hype goes, I did watch some of the highlights solely because I was doing this show. I wanted to be able to talk about it a little bit because, you know, I knew it was going to get brutal towards the end just because it's such a big ask for these two guys to go out there, who are professional fighters, mind you, not professional talkers, to go out there in front of a crowd who are there solely to hear them hype up a fight and actually keep people engaged for four straight nights. So it's pretty impressive, actually, that they were able to somewhat do that for the first couple of days before it completely went off the rails. You know, and the subtlety of McGregor, if you can call it that, with the pin starts on the first night was pretty impressive too. So yeah, did it get me more interested in the fight? Not really, but I was impressed that they were able to do what they were able to do before it went absolutely nuts.
Absolutely. And you, Mike, where did you stand on the fight heading into last week, and where are you right now after those press conferences?
Yeah, you know, as I wrote on MMA Torch, you know, I was adamant that this fight was not going to get made. I just didn't think there was any way, you know, UFC was going to, you know, allow it to happen. And then once it got made, then I remember writing on MMA Torch that I really thought if Mayweather came in, took this seriously, and really wanted to prove a point, I didn't see this going past the second round. Mm-hmm. And then once I started hearing people who I respect talk about the fight, you know, I saw the over-under on rounds was, I believe, 9, and I was really surprised by that. And then I started thinking more, you know, just about Mayweather's fights and, you know, the way they go. And I kind of started coming around to kind of thinking that same thing, where it's very possible this could go to a decision, maybe a late, you know, maybe a late Mayweather knockout. But as far as, you know, really being more hyped for the fight, I would say no, not really. Obviously, you know, things peaked in Toronto, and then, like you said, things just kind of spiraled a little bit out of control towards the end there.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed in McGregor. You know, he's usually pretty witty with some of his barbs, and it almost seemed like they both kind of just, it was almost like they're, you know, fifth graders, you know, on the playground, you know, the way they were just tossing insults forth. I didn't really find it engaging whatsoever. But, hey, kudos to them for, you know, pulling off what they did. They pulled in huge audiences, and I'm sure, you know, viewership was big too, so you got to give them credit for that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they put on, it was quite the spectacle, if nothing else. It's really just too bad that there wasn't maybe a little more quality control, especially in some of the language that was used, you know, with McGregor and the racial stuff in Brooklyn, and then Mayweather with his homophobic slur on Friday. That was really just like, at that point, it's just like, okay, bud, like, this is not going well for anybody. Do you think...
There were times where this was an argument in favor of scripted promos, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, you know, people give WWE a hard time for scripting all their promos, but I mean, like, look at when LeVar Ball and his kids were on Raw a couple weeks ago. That went off the rails in a very similar way. And I was actually going to ask you guys about that. What was a bigger train wreck, the Balls on Raw or Mayweather and McGregor those last 2 days there? And so, yeah, it does lend some credence to at least having a little bit of input. But you know what? You don't need to script someone to say, don't say, don't say the N-word. Don't say, you know, you're half black from the waist down. And don't say the F-word. I mean, like, you don't need Vince McMahon to tell you that. Okay. So, speaking of Raw, Triple H has extended an offer to Mayweather and McGregor to come on Raw and promote the fight in WWE. Do you think Mayweather, McGregor, Showtime, UFC, do you think they should take WWE up on that offer? Go ahead, Sean. Sorry.
I think it wouldn't necessarily be a bad idea, you know, just because if nothing else, they have some quality control. You know, I don't think they would give him that after what they've seen this past few days. I don't think they're going to throw him out there with a blank slate and say, you know, do what you do. I think they would at least script something out for him, whether it's a scenario or whether it's bullet points or whatever, and have him go at it. You know, obviously Raw would be desperate to get a draw like this onto Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're interested in it, it seems like there's a lot of parties that would have to be satisfied with what's going to be on the air. But you know, it is promotion, so it wouldn't shock me. But I would not bet in favor of it.
Yeah. What about you, Mike? Do you think they should do that, or do you think they will do that?
You know, personally, I would love to see it, but I don't see it happening. You know, I don't know how. I just don't put any trust in, honestly, anything that WWE is doing right now to really be that entertaining. Now, granted, Mayweather and McGregor can, you know, probably obviously pull it off just if they were allowed to be themselves. But I'm not so sure McMahon, you know, would allow that. So I think there might be a little bit too much entertainment and scripting for my liking. But, you know, I would definitely watch it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it would obviously be a good audience. What's Raw doing, like 3 million viewers a week, give or take? And, like, we know, at least from up until the last few years, that people that watch Raw, many of them buy pay-per-views. So, I mean, that's a way to reach, you know, an audience that is likely to buy your show. But, yeah, there is the problem if that's really something they want to do, because pro wrestling has, you know, a lot of negative connotations still, and people don't really want to get involved. It seems beneath them, especially when something is supposedly as highbrow as boxing. They might not want to get too involved. So speaking of the business of Mayweather McGregor, what do you guys think in terms of buys? Because when they announced this, I was thinking, well, you know, McGregor, he does, you know, 1 to 1.5 buys pretty easily his last few fights. And then Mayweather, he peaked at 4 for Pacquiao, over 4 million buys for the Pacquiao fight. But after that, he fell off and he was doing well under a million for his last fight there. But then people are talking, you know, 5 to 7 million buys for this fight now. So where do you guys think it'll land when it's all said and done? Go ahead, Sean.
I think it'll do pretty well. I mean, the price point is going to draw a few people, but I think you'll have enough big groups getting together between boxing and MMA fans. You know, you figure you're probably going to get the peak of MMA fans and the peak of boxing fans, or at least pretty close to it. You know, despite what everyone thinks and knows about this fight, you know, I don't think most people besides the most ardent McGregor supporters really think that it's going to go anything but one way. That being said, it would not surprise me if they did, you know, right around what Mayweather Pacquiao did, maybe a little bit more. And that may be, I may be delusional in that case. I'm not a professional prognosticator as far as pay-per-views go, but I mean, I figure if you get McGregor, who's the top draw in MMA, and Mayweather, who's at least one of the top draws, if not the top draw in boxing, it shouldn't be out of the realm of possibility.
Absolutely. What about you, Mike? Where do you think it'll fall?
I think it's gonna come in over 4.5 million. I think MMA fans, at least from what I seem to, you know, what I'm seeing, our MMA fans seem to be a little, you know, more excited about this. You know, I'm not so sure your hardcore boxing fan is a fan, but I still think they're going to come out and buy this fight, regardless of what they say. And just the casual fan, I mean, I think it's really capturing the attention of a casual fan. I think that's what's going to make the difference in this to make it go over that 4.5 million mark.
Yeah, it's just such a ridiculous number, 4.5 million buys, but I can definitely see it. Like, when they first announced the fight, I was thinking, yeah, maybe 2, but, like, yeah, I see 4.5. It just seems it has a lot more buzz than Mayweather and Pacquiao did heading in, and we still got, you know, about 6 weeks to go. Yeah, go ahead. No?
Yeah, go ahead. I agree with you.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so one last thing on Mayweather-McGregor. There's been a little bit of back and forth. Does McGregor return to UFC? He's saying at times that he will. Other people are saying he won't. So if you have to guess, regardless of how the fight ends, we know McGregor's going to get a big paycheck. So does he fight in UFC again? Go ahead, Sean.
I was surprised to hear him say anything about it, honestly, because I figured that he was done. I figured that he would go out as champion of two divisions and say, no one ever beat me. I'm the champion forever as middleweight or as lightweight and featherweight. But with him saying that he's going to come back, I was kind of surprised to hear that. And I think it actually increases the chance that he'll come back to fight again. And, you know, he's obviously at that point not doing it because he wants more money, because he's not going to make, in the rest of his MMA fights combined, I can't imagine he's going to make a fight in Mayweather.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about you, Mike?
Yeah, I agree with Sean. You know, I really thought he was done as well. But the more, you know, I hear him talk and the more I hear, you know, things out of Dana White, you know, I'm starting to lean towards him probably coming back. And, you know, again, like Sean says, he's obviously not coming back for the money. It's definitely, you know, for, you know, to prove that he's, you know, still the best, you know, carrying both titles. I'd like to honestly see him go back and fight for the featherweight title. While I think that's a real long shot, that's something I was, you know, I'd like to see happen.
Yeah, I think there is a chance McGregor comes back, but I would expect it to be more in a co-promotion role where McGregor is, you know, kind of footing half the bill, but he gets more of the take just to come back. Because I think for $3 million, whatever he was getting before, plus pay-per-view, that's not going to do it. So he's going to need, like, a big cut of whatever they do. So I think if they can work out a co-promotion deal between McGregor and UFC, he might be back. So we need relate for our first break. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to take your calls, and we're going to talk about some of the promotion for UFC 214 coming up, Daniel Cormier versus John Jones. So we'll be back right after these words.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, we're back on the MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Livecast. This is Mike Hiskell with Sean Ennis and Michael Grocki of MMATorch.com. We're going to go to your calls. So the number is 515-605-9345 to get in the queue. And let's go to area code 845. What's your name and where are you from? 845, are you there? All right, sorry, bud. I got to lose you there. What about area code 651? What's your name and where are you from? 651, are you with us? All right, not hearing anything. I'll put you back on hold. We'll try again in a bit. So, guys, UFC 214, they put out that really good video. They debuted it at the last pay-per-view of Cormier, who happens to be a big pro wrestling fan, and John Jones. You know, this feud has had a lot of stop and starts, mainly due to some injuries and John Jones's indiscretions, car accident, suspension, etc. So what did you guys think of the video? And just like, yeah, just tell me your thoughts on the video. Go ahead, Sean. We'll start with that.
I thought it was tremendous. I think if it's not the best promo they've ever done, it's pretty close. I think it's probably the best one they've done. It mixed. It did what I didn't expect him to do, which is mix in all of John Jones's problems, really, to you know, to kind of illustrate what's at stake for him in this fight. In addition to getting what I'm sure he considers as his title back, and kind of completing a redemption story of sorts. You know, it's almost like a full circle thing for him. So I think, you know, the promo was excellent. It just showed a lot of what makes these guys different and what makes them kind of perfect foils for each other. told a story and really got people excited for the fight. I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
I thought so too. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I agree. I thought this was by far their best promotion here. I mean, just the story between these two fighters and their history. I mean, if the WWE would dream of having this type of story to tell, not that they would do it as well, but I just thought this promotion was, was right on point. Now, I was really, when I first saw it, I was really kind of taken aback at the rawness of it, to be quite honest. But, the more I watched it, I mean, it's just a great promotional video.
Yeah, they really.
Yeah, I think the more you look at it, the more they kind of had to do something like this, because when you look at most of their promos for their pay-per-views, it's a lot of Joe Rogan screaming and it's a lot of, highlights. And in this one, it was more of a story where they don't really usually tell stories with their promos. They kind of say, you get the Joe Rogan clip of if you were to go into a lab and make a guy who could beat this fighter, it's fighter B. Whereas here, it was more of here are these two guys and here's what makes them polar opposites and perfect opponents. But anyway, sorry, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It really is one of the best things they've done. And they tackled Jones's issues head on, and they almost shied away from the fact that they fought before and didn't really focus on the result of the fight or the fact that it was, not the most exciting fight and it wasn't a particularly competitive fight, really. But they just focused, like you said, on the story, and they just went head in with everything that's gone wrong with Jones in the past couple years. So what do you guys think, bringing this back around to pro wrestling, if WWE had a performer, with the kinds of problems that Jones has had, how do you think they would handle his return? Would they dive right in the way UFC has, or would they try and skirt around those issues? What do you think, Sean?
Well, man, it's a tough question because you can see what they've done in the past. You've got the Scott Hall thing where they did a lot of some stuff in poor taste with him and alcohol. Whereas you've also got the Jake Roberts stuff that happened, and that wasn't really addressed as much head on as Scott Hall was, at least I can remember. They may have done some things I'm not thinking about, but with him coming back and having a religious tint to his character, which of course led into the whole Austin 316 thing. But I think when you do it in a pro wrestling standpoint, it's a lot harder to do it. To incorporate those things in a tasteful way. I think it's probably possible, but the problem that they've had so far from a wrestling context is that they have tended to do it when the guys are still having these issues rather than doing it as a redemption thing where, they've had the issues, they've recovered or they're recovering, they're in a good place now and here they are, here's their story. So it's, I think it can be done, but I haven't seen it done well yet. You might consider the Kurt Angle thing done a little bit better than what they would usually do. Of course, that was on a WWE 24 thing rather than an actual storyline. So I think that makes a little bit of a difference too. And then there's the other aspect of it, which is the fight itself is taking place in reality. So it's, those are the stakes. The stakes for Jon Jones and for Daniel Cormier are real, and while you can play that as real in a wrestling sense, I think it's a lot more difficult to do.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think what makes Cormier and Jones work is the fact that they have this history together, and it makes sense in the story to tell each side of it leading up to the fight. As far as, if they did this in the WWE, I think Sean touched on it, I think in the past they've actually done, storylines, but it was during when the wrestler was actually going through, his or her problems at the time, and they turned it into a storyline, and for the most part it just didn't work out well, at least from my perspective. Now, considering, just how they're so focused on the entertainment, kid-oriented, kid-focused. I don't see them, really wanting to get into anything, too heavy. Now, what I have seen them do in the past was, they've made some you know, excellent DVDs for, you know, wrestlers where they kind of go into that personal story a lot more. Those make for great, you know, great DVDs. I really enjoy those. But I just don't see it working, you know, in a WWE scripted universe.
Yeah, you are right. WWE, they do a lot of the things similar to what UFC has done with Jones, except the difference is they don't feature it as part of their core product. They, like you said, they put it on specials on the network or on DVDs where far fewer people see them, and it's not part of the promotional push for the wrestler. It's just kind of like supplementary content for hardcore fans. Yeah, if WWE had someone with the kinds of issues Jones has had, I can't imagine them. They wouldn't even keep him around. Like, they would either just, like, you know, kind of bury him until he quits or he dies, but they would never put someone on top and promote his problems as a way to sell a pay-per-view. It's just not really their style, and maybe that's okay, but yeah, I really like what UFC is doing here, especially considering, you know, interest was kind of waning on the Cormier-Jones fight just with all the start and stops, and, you know, they've put so much out there to promote the fight and then not been able to deliver. They really did a good job of renewing interest and make this feel like something fresh after a couple years of almost seeing the fight, but it not coming through. Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to talk a bit about Brock Lesnar and what's next for him. We'll be right back.
Thank you for being a PW Torch Livecast listener. As of mid-July 2017, the PW Torch Livecast lineup has undergone some changes. My shows have moved to a new feed, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available at Podcast One, or just search Wade Keller in your podcast app. But there's tons of great content every week, including Saturdays at 6 Eastern, the new Deep Dive with Rich Fan, covering a single topic in professional wrestling in depth. Join him live with phone calls at 6 Eastern every Saturday. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern, it is Wrestling Night in America with Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, where they focus on the supercards, the big events coming up in pro wrestling, or review the latest one. That's at 8 Eastern, or following a live pay-per-view, if there's a live pay-per-view on that Sunday. And then check out MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans every Monday night at 7 Eastern, hosted by Mike Hisko and other MMA Torch contributors. It's a chance for fans of both pro wrestling and MMA who share that in common to talk about the latest happenings in the world of mixed martial arts. Tuesdays, it's the Best of PW Torch Livecast, a hand-picked episode from our history that gives you a chance to catch up on a show you might have missed back in our earlier years. And then the PW Torch Nostalgia Hour with Jim Valley is back. It used to be called Saturday Morning Wrestling. Now it's Wednesdays at 5 Eastern. He takes your live calls and interviews some of the big names from pro wrestling's past. And then Thursday nights, following GFW Impact, it's Mike McMahon and Andrew Sochak with a recap of the just-concluded Impact Wrestling show on Pop TV. So as soon as Impact goes off the air in the United States on Pop TV, join Mike and Andrew live right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. They'll be taking your calls. That's the new lineup of the PW Torch Livecast. Great diverse mix of shows with a great group of hosts. Keep listening and keep spreading the word, and give us a 5-star rating over at iTunes with some kind comments in the listener comment section about which shows you like and why. That's PW Torch Livecast, new lineup. Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right, we're back, guys. I just want to point out, I just got a tweet, actually, during the break there, and someone mentioned that WWE, they did use a lot of Eddie Guerrero's past transgressions to promote him, so I just wanted to throw that out there. Forgot about that one. So
that's a good point. Actually, before we move on, real quick, I just want to acknowledge a couple others that I thought of.
Yeah.
That they kind of acknowledged it without using it in the people's push. But like, if you think of Shawn Michaels, when he came back from his hiatus of you know, when he had a hard time and came back was you know, into his born again phase, when he did some of the best work of his career. You know, they kind of acknowledged it that he had some demons in his past and was a different guy now. And then with Goldust, like now, you know, Dustin Rhodes obviously has had a lot of issues in the past, and they're not really acknowledging it, but but he's there. So it's kind of like, you know, they've handled it in a lot of different ways. I don't really use that as more of a pushing thing, but more of a way to say that they've handled it in so many different ways. So anyway.
Yeah, for sure. If they think there's an angle that can be written around it, they will use the past, someone's real past, to write a story. Absolutely. So Brock Lesnar, he obviously has been in WWE for the past few years. He came back to UFC last year for one fight, which he won only to have it overturned due to a drug test failure. And then he was given a suspension and then retired. So if he wants to come back, he's going to have to ride out that suspension. So with that in mind, Sean, do you think he's going to make a return to MMA at any point?
In a word, no. And I don't think he should. I think he's where he should be right now. He's doing an awesome, phenomenal job in WWE. And I don't think he has anything... I shouldn't say he doesn't have anything to prove in MMA, because I think he feels like he probably could prove something in MMA, but there's, you know, he came in, he won the heavyweight title, he was kind of a supernova, and then he burned out quick, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, he doesn't have to be Fedor. So let that be his legacy. They came in, burned right, and faded out, and that's fine. So to me, he doesn't have anything left to prove there. You know, maybe it was as a glorified flash in the pan, but, you know, he had a heck of a run for as short as it was.
He absolutely did. What do you think, Mike? Are we going to see Brock again in the cage anytime?
I don't think so. I'd like to see it just because I'm a fan of his, but I think he's at a point in his life where I don't think he needs it. It's just a shame, you know, because like Sean said, he had quite a fast rise and a short run. It's just unfortunate that the illness, you know, came when it did, because I'm kind of curious to see, you know, what he could have made, you know, out of his MMA career. Just unfortunate that it was cut short. Now, you know, MMA's loss is obviously the WWE's gain. And I enjoy his work in WWE, obviously working part-time, you know, making the money he makes, you know, less travel. I mean, he really has it made right now. So, you know, just as a physical level, I don't see, you know, him wanting to go back to that. I, you know, like Sean said, I really don't think he has anything else to prove. He proved, you know, years ago that he was capable of doing what he did. I think he's at a point where he doesn't need it. And like you said, you know, he's at a good point in his life right now. I think he should just stick to what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for the suspension, I would think, yeah, he's going to come back, because he looked pretty good against Mark Hunt. I mean, he beat the guy. Unfortunately, he wasn't clean for the fight. But yeah, so he's going to have to get himself back in that testing pool and ride out. I think it was a 9-month suspension, so it's hard to imagine him coming back and being under that kind of scrutiny for that amount of time. So yeah, I don't see it happening at his age and with, you know, the kind of money he can make in WWE with that schedule. But that said, let's say Brock does decide to come back, rides out the suspension, stays clean, tests clean. What kind of fights would you guys like to see Brock in? Let's just say he goes to UFC. What do you think, Sean?
Oh, jeez. I think you probably throw him in there on the senior circuit, you know, get him the thing is, there's no fight that would make sense for a guy of Lesnar's stature that would give him an easy win. So, you know, Frank Mir is not there anymore. You know, so you wouldn't get a trilogy with Frank Mir, not that we needed one. But, I think you throw him in there with like a guy coming off a loss, like Fabricio Verdum or, someone like that. You know, the thing is, I don't know that there's anyone out there that Lesnar hasn't fought that he's going to beat. So, you know, the thing is, if he were to come back, that's why I don't really have a lot of interest in seeing him come back too, because I don't think that it would be super competitive. Like, if he were to come back and fight guys that are around his age, those are mostly guys that would know how to handle his game. So I don't really see a lot of interest in it. I think Verdum is the guy that comes to mind immediately for me. But, you know, like if you put him in there with a guy like that or a guy like Dos Santos, something like that, I just see him getting tuned up, you know. So that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah. Okay, Mike. Let's say Brock decides to go to Bellator. Say the money's there. How about Brock versus Fedor? Do you think that's something you'd like to see?
Yeah, that's a fight I wouldn't mind seeing. I wouldn't mind seeing him, you know, fight Fedor or, you know, the dream fight with, you know, him between Bobby Lashley. I'm sure wrestling fans would clamor to see that, especially if it was on, you know, free TV on Spike. That would be certainly a fight I'd be interested in seeing. But other than that, the heavyweight division in Bellator just really isn't, let's just say it's not very deep. You know, if you're talking in the UFC, I wouldn't mind seeing him fight someone like maybe Ben Rothwell or Derek Lewis or someone along those lines. I don't think he would fare well against, you know, like a Stipe or the top heavyweights in the division anymore.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see Brock going against anyone in the top five or even, like, you know, the most of the top 10 really at this point. Derek Lewis, I do like that idea, just to see what kind of trash Derek Lewis would talk leading up to the fight. He's pretty entertaining. I was disappointed when he said he was talking about retiring after his last fight, but it looks like he's coming back, so hopefully he can sort out his back issues and get back in the game there. So considering Brock Lesnar's career in pro wrestling and MMA, Sean, what do you think his legacy is going to be? Is he going to be best remembered as a pro wrestler or as a professional fighter?
I think definitely as a pro wrestler. I think as a pro wrestler who dipped his toe into the world of MMA, did very well, and then got back out. You know, whether that was by choice or not, it's probably going to be moot at the end of the day when it comes to how people remember him. And I think that's how it's going to be you know, a guy who was an elite athlete, dipped his toe into everything, was really successful as an MMA fighter for a short period of time, but made his bones as a wrestler.
Yeah. What do you think, Mike?
I mean, a guy's so athletic. I mean, he can do just about anything I think he put his mind to. But ultimately, you know, he's just had more longevity in the wrestling world, so I think he'll be better known there. Although, I don't know if you guys remember, but when he came into the UFC, I don't think anyone expected much of anything from him. And I remember, you know, they put him in there with Couture, and I think they really expected Brock to lose, go back to WWF, and call it a day. So I think he really proved a lot to a lot of people as far as his UFC run goes. But ultimately, I think just from a longevity stance, I think, you know, just in the wrestling business, I think he's going to be known a little bit better there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, he came into UFC and he did really well. And you're right, he completely overachieved based on everyone's expectations when he came in. But he never really was able to shed the label as the pro wrestling guy, you know, trying out UFC. Even, you know, after he was heavyweight champ, he was just, you know, the wrestling guy. You know, as soon as he fights a real fighter, he's going to be out of here and back to the fake stuff. Speaking of guys moving from the fake stuff to the real stuff, we're going to talk about CM Punk in a few minutes, but we're going to take a quick break first. We'll be right back with that.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject. Some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes. Places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here because Saturday nights on the livecast are officially all right for diving.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too, and if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Okay, guys, we're back. So we're going to talk about CM Punk. Where is CM Punk? I feel like I haven't heard from him in quite a while. Sean, do you know where CM Punk is?
I do not. Last I heard of him, I guess he was on an MTV competition show.
He was.
Or, you know, getting called out by getting called out by one of those guys. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So, Sean, we saw what happened last year. It's been, what, 10 months since he was completely obliterated by Mickey Gall. Should CM Punk fight again, in your estimation? What do you think?
He can fight all he wants. He shouldn't fight the UFC again. He probably shouldn't have fought there in the first place. That being said, will he fight there again? You know, who knows? I guess it depends on how desperate WMAING are for what they think might be a draw. You know, I don't know how much he would draw at this point after being, as you said, obliterated by Mickey Gall. But, you know, the curiosity factor could still be there. I don't know. If I had to bet on it, I would say he probably wants to fight in the UFC again, but he probably won't.
Yeah, you'd have to imagine that he wants to come back, and my guess is that WMEIMG will want him back just because of the money he can bring in, and I think enough time has passed where the interest can be brought back to see him fight again. They'll have to find someone that people can believe he can be competitive with, whether, you know, that's accurate or not. What do you think, Mike? Should CM Punk fight again? Should it be in UFC, or should they just cut him and let him go to Bellator? Because that's what would happen.
Yeah, you know, considering the last fight was still lopsided, I think it really hurt his stock in really any organization. Obviously, you know, the smaller ones would get a bump and bring him in. But for the UFC, again, it comes down to, you know, how desperate are they to get the ratings? I just don't see any fight that he would take that would be competitive. I mean, after watching even, Dana White's show last Tuesday, you know, I don't even see him being competitive against any of those fighters. Personally, I don't think it's a good idea. And considering the way the last fight went, I don't see there being a lot of promotion around it either. I mean, it'd be different if he started winning fights and they're showing him win fights, maybe on undercards, at least prove to people that, you know, his fights can be competitive. But without that, I don't know how, you know, people are going to really trust it this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine who they could even put him up against that he could be competitive with. I mean, I don't know what he's been doing the past year in terms of training, if he's improved much, or if he's, you know, been going to baseball games and comic book conventions and he's already given up, but just no one knows that yet. So, but let's just say, you know what's going to come. He's going to fight in UFC. He wants to. UFC's going to put him in. Who can you put him against that you can sell and maybe be competitive with? What do you think, Sean?
Oh, my. Someone you can be competitive with, I honestly can't think of anyone. Someone that you could sell, maybe Sage Northcutt. You know, you put him in there with a guy that you want to showcase. That's not, you know, you put him in with a guy that you want to showcase without it being an obvious murder case, you know, like, yeah. Someone like Sage, who, you know, the UFC obviously loves, but there's not a lot of guys to showcase him against. I would say that's your obvious step there is Sage Northcutt.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. He's the guy with a name who is pretty beatable, and maybe people would buy into that CM Punk could compete with him. Do you have any ideas, Mike?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch Sean's fighter. Who did he say?
He said Sage Northcutt.
Oh, that is actually a really good fight. I didn't even think that.
Yeah.
But now that he mentions it, yeah, that would be something I would actually like to see. I was thinking of someone, you know, not even, you know, obviously outside the top 15,
yeah.
But I'd be curious to see that fight.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. The one I've always had in mind, and I'm pretty alone in this feeling, but based on recent performances, I'd be interested in seeing CM Punk against BJ Penn. What do you guys think about that?
You know what? You know what? That actually, that's not bad. I kind of like that.
I mean, he's a name.
You know, that's the fight that Penn can win. You know, BJ Penn fans want to see BJ go out on a high note, and you get Punk back in there for the curiosity. Why not, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's BJ Penn's in the exact same spot. BJ Penn's in the exact same spot as Punk, where he's this guy who can't win a fight, but he's insistent on fighting, so they got to put him against someone. So just match up your two guys right there. That's kind of how I feel about that. So Stefan Bonner,
I hope Rich Hansen is listening to this podcast so that he can, like, I can hear him screaming from Wisconsin right now.
All right. So apparently Stefan Bonner has made the move to pro wrestling. Do you guys hear anything about that?
I heard rumblings about it. I hadn't heard anything official.
Yeah. So what I could find was he worked a tag match with Phil Baroni last night. I think they were called the Real Shooters at an indie show somewhere in Indiana. I was trying to find some video of it, but it couldn't come up. Sean, does Bonner seem like someone who is a good fit for pro wrestling based on what you know about him?
Geez. Yeah, why not? You know, I mean, if Matt Riddle could do it, I don't see why Stefan Bonner couldn't. You know, he seems like an interesting enough guy that could, he's the kind of guy who he wasn't the greatest stick guy in the UFC. You know, Phil Baroni, if he partners up with Phil Baroni and they call themselves the Real Shooters, I think they might have something going there, at least on the smaller shows for a little while. But, Bonner, he could do a little something, maybe, at least from a promo standpoint. From a work standpoint, he's a little bit old to get into the game, but, you know, who's to say he can't do it?
Yeah, I think you're right. He is a little old, and it's hard to say at this point how seriously he's taking it and actually learning how to work in the ring. But towards the end of his fighting career, he was starting to, quote, get it in terms of, you know, only taking big fights and promoting his fights, even though there was all that nonsense with the Ortiz fight. He was at least trying. And yeah, if he dedicates himself to it, yeah, maybe he'd be okay. You talked about Matt Riddle. He's a guy who, you know, went all in with pro wrestling, and he's come out remarkably just in one or two years in the business. He's become excellent. That match he had with Shibata in Revolution Pro earlier this year, that was an excellent match.
Yeah, Riddle's a natural.
He really is. So with, speaking of Matt Riddle, is there anyone that you guys can think of in UFC or in MMA right now, rather, that you could see making that transition to pro wrestling and doing well? What do you think, Sean?
I think CM Punk ought to do it.
Yeah, he might do okay. Yeah, yeah. Mike, is there anyone you can think of?
Let's see.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Sean. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, is there anyone you can think of, Mike?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's the guys with the big personality and the ability to promote themselves, like your Conor McGregor's. You know, I think you would fit right in. And not miss a beat. He's the first one, obviously, that comes to mind. But I think the way the UFC is now, you know, fighters have to promote themselves. They have to start calling out fighters. And I think it's going that way to where, you know, this is what, you know, has been happening in the wrestling business, you know, since it started. And I think just now, you know, within the last couple of years, you know, fighters in the UFC and, you know, other promotions are figuring out as well that they have to get out there and start promoting themselves. Now, as long as they can learn, you know, learn the craft and be safe, yeah, I think a lot of them can do it, especially the ones who have the big personalities.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't recommend to any professional fighter to move into pro wrestling unless, you know, just fighting was not an option for you anymore for any reason. But just, like, the schedule sucks. It takes a ridiculous toll on your body. It's really something you're best getting into when you're younger. So, I mean, unless you have no other options, stick to fighting and just take the best of pro wrestling and use it in your fighting career and to try and get yourself ahead that way. That's what I would suggest to anyone in fighting right now. So I wanted to talk quickly about UFC Fight Pass versus WWE Network. They both launched around the same time. Sean, what would you say are the strengths of Fight Pass versus WWE Network and vice versa?
I'll start by saying I think the network is a better value by quite a large margin. I think that their original content is a lot better produced. It's and their archive, there's no comparison really, and that's not really even the fault of the UFC. It's more the fact that the WWE has more to pull from. You know, they've got years and years and years of content from all kinds of different promotions. Now the UFC has done a nice job of getting smaller promotions to show their content on the Fight Pass, and that's all great and everything. But it's more, I think the Fight Pass is more geared toward hardcore MMA heads rather than you're not going to pull in casual fans with the UFC Fight Pass, whereas you can. I think you're more likely to be able to do that with WWE because of the availability of the pay-per-views or the monthly specials or whatever they want to call them. I think if the Fight Pass were to put the pay-per-views on even at an elevated price, you know, $30 a month, then you're talking about the value. But at this point, the network is it's got a better interface on every device I've ever used. It's got a much better interface. It's easy to deal with. They've got content for days, whereas Fight Pass, the interface has not been impressive on most of the devices that I've used it on, and the live experience is not as good either. I know they've tried with like the corner cams and things like that. I still think that they could really up their game with that. That's kind of in a nutshell how I would put it.
Yeah. Mike, do you think there's any value at this point in time in UFC putting their pay-per-views on Fight Pass, maybe some of the smaller shows? What do you think about that?
Well, it's funny you mentioned it, because when I was thinking about the question, you know, one of the things that, you know, WWE did was put their pay-per-views on the network, which at first I thought they were crazy for doing, but, you know, now it's common. It's like, yeah, it's a WWE Network special. And you don't even think twice about it. And I think it's, you know, just kind of getting, you know, your customer base used to, you know, going to the network. And I think the UFC is just struggling with getting their fans to get to Fight Pass. You know, they're trying different things, like with Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think they need to put more big cards on Fight Pass in order for them to get people to really want to pay the monthly subscription fee in order to view it. The way it stands right now, I just don't think I think it's going to kind of stay where it's at until, you know, they really start making an effort to put some bigger fights on Fight Pass to really make people want to see it and pay for it.
Yeah.
I think what the UFC is missing at this point is like a come for this and stay for that kind of dynamic, like WWE has. You know, they started out with come for the pay-per-views, stay for all this crazy original content we're putting on there. Now, not all their content has been great, but they have been rolling content on there, you know, just month after month after month. They've got these tournaments, they've got these specials, they've got all kinds of stuff. Some of it's hit or miss, but some of it's really good. And I think that's what the UFC is missing. Even if they had some really good stuff on there, they don't have that ultimate draw that's saying, come here for this, and then while you're here, check out this other great stuff we got.
Yeah, I agree. UFC Fight Pass is...
And not only that, but WWE does a great job at telling their customers and potential customers the value of the network. Like, this is what you're getting for your money. Yeah. Where I think Fight Pass is missing the boat on that.
Yeah, I think so, because... Like you guys were saying, UFC, they don't quite have that singular draw to get people to use the service. It's kind of just like, here's a bunch of fights. It's $10 a month. It's a pretty good deal. And we'll give you, you know, some original content once in a while. But I just don't see pay-per-view going to Fight Pass quite yet. The the regular, you know, run-of-the-mill pay-per-views are doing well enough where it just wouldn't make sense financially, I don't think. But they do need that hook, I agree. One thing UFC does do well with Fight Pass is pretty much everything is there in terms of UFC fights. You can find pretty much whatever you're looking for. With WWE, they have all the pay-per-views, but they've been slower with a lot of the TV content. But a lot of that has to do with just the pure volume of hours of video that they would have to upload to their service. But they offer, you know, unique original content. I think a lot of WWE's original content is not really valuable, but, you know, for some people that's great. But to me, I think the key is just the live shows, and that's worth your $10 alone. Okay, so we're about to wrap up, but I just want to make a mention. If you like the MMA talk you're getting tonight, a PW Torch VIP membership, you'll get all these live casts ad-free and another 15 or sometimes more VIP-exclusive podcasts during the week, including Sure Dog and LA Times MMA columnist Todd Martin's weekly take on MMA in The Fix with Todd Martin. That's every Wednesday night with Wade Keller, and we're just going to play a little spot for you telling you about that.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s, but you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and Sure Dog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Wade Keller Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Shad Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the Retro Radio Shows. Every Thursday, a new Retro Radio Show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.
All right, we're back, guys. A little bit of breaking news, nothing major, but Combate America, which uses former pro wrestler Alberto Del Rio as kind of a public figurehead. Looks like they've signed a TV deal, English, with ESPN, and they're running shows starting July 27th. So that's good for them. They were on Fight Pass before. Any thoughts on that, Sean or Mike?
Pretty interesting. I mean, I never expect big things from small promotions, but that's a pretty big outlet. So that'll be interesting to watch, if nothing else.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you think while we're talking about Combat? Just the fact that they've been using Del Rio as a figurehead and some of the problems he's been having with his on-again, off-again fiance. There's been allegations of abuse. Do you think it's a good idea to keep him in that spot, Mike?
No, I don't think they should. And I'm actually quite surprised. I would think, a network like ESPN would garner, some other bigger promotions, to their channel. But anyway, no, I don't know. You know, especially with the way Global Force or, whatever they're called now, having him as their champion, I just kind of compare it to, kind of what, Vince McMahon and WWE would do is, I think they would try and probably take the belt off of him and, put him on the shelf for a couple months. I kind of think that's the way they should go.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if anything happens on that front. Now they're on a pretty major platform. It looks like they're going to be on ESPN3, but ESPN is still ESPN. So I'm going to wrap it up for today, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. Is there anything you want to plug, Sean, before we head out?
Nothing especially. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @SeanEnnis. Also, if you want to catch some of the things from the last couple of days, check out Ponza Medio or San Diego Ponza Medio and Gunnar Nelson. Or if you want to look at the pro wrestling side of things, if you have New Japan World, check out the first day of the G1 Climax because the last couple of matches on there, especially, were fantastic.
Yeah, I'm going to try and check out some of that G1 tomorrow. Go ahead with your plugs, Mike.
If you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter @FightChampBlog. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter @MikeHiscoe, MikeHiscoe. And obviously head to MMATorch.com. Check that out every single day. And we'll see you next Monday, 7 Eastern, for the MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans livecast. Thanks a lot, guys.